I'm Imani Evora, and you are listening to the We Are Made podcast, a Black creative series. Stories are an invitation into both who we are and what we stand for. The traces of Black experience throughout history that has allowed us to reclaim the makings of our greatest gifts, creation. These are the stories of Black creatives and curators. Today on the We Are Made podcast, I'm joined by storyteller Dana Blair. From the age of three, this Louisiana native took an interest in classical dance. After years of development, she made her way to New York on a dance scholarship and continued through college. After suffering an unexpected injury that redirected her plans of a lifelong career in dance, she leaned into her next set of skills, her education. After returning to college to attend graduate school, what happened following a resume post would become the dividing factor of the next chapter of her life. Introducing this week's origin story, Dana Blair.
So I was born and raised in Alexandria, Louisiana until I was 18, and then I moved to New York City on a dance scholarship. I've studied classical dance since I was three, and I got into it because I was hyperactive. And my mom was like, you can't be in my house. You have to get outside of my house. And my god sister's mom called her and said she was putting her in dance class, and she felt that she would stick with it if she had someone in the class that she knew. So that's honestly how I got into dance. And when I was 10 years old, I told my mom I wanted to be a professional dancer. And she had heard about a Black principal ballerina by the name of Lauren Anderson, who was with Houston Ballet. My mom's originally from Houston, Texas. Shout out to Houston. And so my birthday is December 30th. So my Christmas slash birthday present, we had orchestra seats to see Lauren Anderson perform in the Nutcracker, and she was performing opposite an Afro-Cuban dancer named Carlos Acosta. So it was a beautiful brown couple in the premier pas de deux, or the lead pas de deux of this particular ballet. So once I saw that, sold, that's what I want to do. That's all I want to be. And I was in dance class constantly. And that's how I got a scholarship and went to New York, danced through college, through undergrad, and danced professionally briefly, had an injury. And then I was like, I'm smart. I guess I'm gonna have to go back to school. Because, you know, when something's your entire life, you don't think about what life looks like outside of that. And it's always defined you. Like, even now, when I go back home, they're like, oh, you're the dancer. So when it's your identity and now you're trying to figure out who you are, I was like, I have no idea. So I'm going to go to grad school. I'm smart. I'm a nerd. I can do this. Went back and got my MBA, and I ended up in media just because I had posted a resume, didn't really know what I wanted to do, and got to A&E Television Network, reached out to me to be a sales assistant. And I started learning the business side of media, ad sales, and the dollars and the math behind it. And fast forward, I worked at Vogue and Complex and Essence in a marketing capacity, designing integrated marketing campaigns, digital campaigns, branded content strategy. And I was doing another round at Essence as a freelancer, and they were launching a video, a television show. And all of the properties under Time Inc. Corporate, so like Sports Illustrated, InStyle, Entertainment Weekly, you know, all of our sister titles were doing shows. And Time Inc. had invested a lot of money in building a studio. And they're like, Dana, we think you should be a host. And I was like, that's not what I do. That's not what my student loans say I do. That was not in my plan. I'm a Capricorn. I did not plan that. This is not what I do. Trying to block my blessings. Fast forward, I ended up hosting the show for 2 years, and I found something that I love, that I feel like I'm truly meant to do, that is the greatest high for me. And so that's what I've been doing now since March of 2015, full time.
Dana went from planning the next steps in her life to now pivoting into a new career as a host on Essence. She didn't feel equipped nor prepared for a new position she didn't set out to receive. But when the lights turned on, she noticed how much she came alive in a new way. It was from that moment on that she knew this was where she was meant to be, and despite her fears, she has continued on this path ever since.
I was terrified because I'd already had one career and did a career change. And then I'm like, I'm doing this again. And I was, how old was I when I did that? Like 34, maybe somewhere in there, 34, 35. You know, you should all over yourself in terms of where you feel you should be in your life, what you should have figured out, what you should have planned. I should not be doing this. I should be, you know, insert fill in the blank here, whatever, you know? So psychologically, I was like, this, and this. And then being on the business side, a lot of people don't realize you make good money on the business side. I make good money. I've been freelancing for 10 years. I make good money on the marketing side. I make good money as a consultant. Now I'm going to be in talent. When you're a talent, it's the same as a dancer. It's the same as an actress. You could have 15 jobs one day and then the phone not ring for 15 months another, you know? And my bills are real and the lifestyle that I like to live is real, you know? So you have those honest conversations with yourself. And I have 3 degrees of student loans and I have rent and I have, you know, I pay health insurance out of pocket, like, you know, just all those adulting things that you think about. So the only reason I did it was because I've never felt since my last show, I remember the curtain going down and just dread because I knew it was my last show. And then when the light came on my first camera test, I had never read a teleprompter before. That same magic I felt from when I was performing, I felt like it was back. And that felt authentic to who I was. And I believe the universe doesn't place you in places that you're not prepared to be. And so that's, so I said, okay, I have to do this. And a very, very good friend of mine, who's way more emotionally intelligent than I am, my friend Damali, she told me, write down on paper what your fears are. Like really write it down, look at it. I'm very like cerebral person, write it down. Are you afraid you're going to be homeless? No, that's not, no. She's like, you got places to stay, you have savings and you have a job. Like they're offering you a job. Are you afraid you're not going to have food? Are you afraid you're not going to have clothes on your back? What are you afraid of? And when I realized all my basic needs are going to be more than met, I just have to try. Like those fears were taken out of the, you know, removed for me. I was able to step into it better. I really, really was, but I was terrified. I think change can be more often than not is kind of scary. At least for me, it is.
Options were essential to giving Dana the control she needed over her life. They offered her a greater sense of determination, making calculated risk that allowed her to use one skill to feed into another. She was not only smart, but strategic in her approach. She understood how sacrifices in the beginning would have a better chance of paying off in the end. She knew the key to really living the life she wanted all came down to one thing, choice.
For me, it was always about being prepared and to give myself options, right? So I'm a performing arts major, but a business minor. I knew I couldn't dance forever. So I needed to have something that said I was employable to do something other than wait tables when I wasn't dancing, honestly. That's honestly the reason why I did it. And like I said, I'm smart. I can do this. I will say most of my friends who were performing arts majors minored in either psychology or PR or something else, another skill set that they knew they would have to develop later on. And then an MBA, it just says I can think at a certain level. But again, it's a specialized in marketing. It's creative. Right. So I feel like it all connects in creation and being strategic to a degree, but also using my instrument, whether it's my body or my mind, to create something. So I just kind of paid attention to that thread. But for me, it was not so much about committing to do something. It was about giving myself the options. I never want to feel like I don't have an option. I don't have a choice for myself or for my life. And so that's what it was about for me, to say Dana has options. I was working full-time at Essence and I, as a senior marketing manager, and when I realized fashion was what I really wanted to focus on, I had gotten into Parsons and then I took a freelance job and a $20,000 pay cut to go to Vogue. And for me, it was about options. I knew if I wanted to be in fashion, saying I worked at Vogue was important from a marketing and digital strategy perspective. And the things I was going to be allowed to work on, those were going to be great for my creative portfolio. You know what I'm saying? And I knew in my head, okay, I can do that. But then at the same time though, to make up for that money I was walking away from, I started teaching dance on the weekends. So I changed jobs and added a job, but I knew I'm giving myself options down the road. So that's honestly what it was about for me. It wasn't to be say I'm degreed up or I'm doing it. It literally was not about that, because I curse every time that Sally Mae payment makes that automatic withdrawal on the 15th. Okay, so that's what it was about for me. I want options because, you know, the professional landscape is constantly changing, and I wanted to make sure I gave myself options to move accordingly in that space.
Before she was in front of the camera, she started behind it. And after years of doing the groundwork, this allowed Dana to build the right relationships within her network. Essence was the start. And soon BET was calling next. Opportunity after opportunity came her way, but not without consistency, outreach, and the fostering of the right relationships.
It's been a lot of hit and miss, to be fully honest with you. Hosting Essence show gave me a great platform. It did. You know, a lot of people were checking for it. And so, like, BET would call me to correspond here. You know, different outlets would call me to, like, commentate different, you know, or that kind of thing. So that was great. But also, I worked in media, almost 8 or 9 years, perhaps, before I stepped in front of the camera. So I had relationships in media, but from a marketing perspective. So a lot of the individuals who knew my work ethic and knew what I bring to the table just as a marketer, and then they were seeing me on camera, they really wanted to work with me. And because they knew I was going to show up and show out, that was going to be prepared, especially if it was something that was advertiser sponsored. They knew I understood the logistics and the business of it and the nuance of doing certain things. And just working my network, honestly, working my network, lots of outreach, lots of being diligent with follow-ups and that sort of thing, because I'm not with a particular outlet. So working your network and really trying to spend a lot of time in fostering the right relationships, not just relationships for the sake of relationships, but the right relationships, has allowed me to continue to work.
After a tough conversation with herself in the mirror, Dana decided it was time to love herself again, but this time vulnerably reimagined. This led to the decision to cut her hair. Not for confidence or security, but to remove the only thing she had left to hide behind, how she viewed herself and how she was viewed by others. She was now on a new journey that only she could see herself through.
I didn't think it was going to solidify anything in my sense of identity. I just did it out of chaos. I just did it out of, I need to shed my skin. I did it out of, I can't be like this right now, honestly. And did I intend to go this short? No. Did I intend to be bald for the last almost 10 years? Because I cut it hella low. I had done like a big chop before and put in braids, you know, because I was not going to wear my hair like the TWA. I was not doing that. But I had never been like in a barber shop until February of 2012. So I'm coming up on 10 years and it was just a starting over. You know, Coco Chanel says a woman who cuts her hair is a woman who's about to change the world or change her life or something like that. I'm paraphrasing, but I just felt like I couldn't be in my own skin anymore. And that was the only thing I could take off. You know, that's the only, you know, layer I could shed. And I really did hate looking at myself after I did it. I have no problem telling you that. I thought I was ugly. I hated my eyes. I hated my skin. I had nothing to hide behind anymore. It was like, what did you do? I felt very vulnerable and very exposed. And I was coming out of a very unhealthy relationship. And one day I was in the bathroom and I was looking at myself in the mirror. I was in downtown Brooklyn. And I said, you're ripping yourself apart the way this person would have ripped you apart. Why would, and you're with yourself more than anybody else. You're going to stay like this until you're comfortable. Honestly. And it took me like easily 4 to 6 months to really start to get comfortable. And now I'm asked all the time, will you grow it out? And I'm like, I don't know. Because I can't picture myself any other way, to be honest. I feel beautiful now. I feel comfortable. I feel happy. And also, too, because there's something about it that makes people think that I'm like this super confident, courageous person and not to mess with me. I don't know. They like, it's almost like a defense mechanism, too, at this point. But it happened out of necessity, but it's taught me a lot about myself and how I view myself. And I don't think about hair anymore. So I always find it interesting, or I forget how important hair is for a lot of people in the day-to-day of their lives, because it's something I don't think about anymore. So I'm asked that question a lot. And the people tell me all the time, I wish I could do that. Try it. If you want to try it, try it. It's hair. It grows back. It might take a long time to grow back because there's a whole lot of awkward stages that happen when you go this low. But for me, it was just like so hard to look at myself. And I think we pick ourselves apart a lot in society and the definitions of beauty and what we should and shouldn't look like and comparing ourselves to standards that aren't even real sometimes. Hello, airbrushing. Hello, you know, like I was just beating myself up so much. I was like, I can't even begin to do all the amazing things that God has planned for me if I'm just shitting on myself every day. Like, I can't do that. So yeah, that's how it started. I didn't know what my head looked like under here. I didn't know if it was dinged up, egg shaped, flat in the back. I had no clue. People think you're so courageous. You're so confident. I'm the hardest on myself. No one can beat up on Dana the way Dana can beat up on Dana. Period. You know, I shaved my head first. The confidence came afterwards. A lot of time, a lot of like just kind of really paying attention to myself and speaking with myself and like questioning where certain doubts and fears came from. And so many people telling me I'm confident because of a hairstyle made me say, well, why do they feel that way? You know, like, what is it? What is confidence? And just like, what does confidence mean to me? It was just, I think age also. I think patting myself on the back for accolades and things that I've accomplished, some things I wanted, far greater than I could have, you know, imagined for myself. Like this little country girl from Alexandria interviewing Denzel Washington. What? Denzel used to just be an 8x10 on Whitley Gilbert's wall in a different world when I was watching A Different World, not a real person that I would get to interview, you know, and being just kinder to myself and saying, you know, everybody's trying to figure it out. Everybody out here faking the funk. Everybody out here trying to figure out who they are. You're no less than they are. And so when I walk outside, I hold my head up high because I know that I'm also in an industry that's very critical and I have to be confident. I have to love and embrace who I am because every day I walk out the door, somebody's going to test me. You know, they're going to test you. If you live in a big city, I lived in Brooklyn 16 years. You're getting on the train, you got an ice grill. You're walking down the street, you know, you're a woman by yourself. I'm not represented by management, so I'm negotiating something, you know? You're told no multiple times a day before you get a yes. Those types of things, you have to believe in yourself just to keep going. So I think that confidence is just something that's built up over time. And it's also something that I work at constantly. The same way I think happiness is something you have to work at constantly. You just don't wake up and be like, oh my God, I'm happy, and you're happy forever. Like, that's like saying you went to the gym and you got an ab one day and you don't ever have to work out again. Like, that's not realistic. You know what I mean? So I work at that all the time. And I don't let anyone, excuse the term, don't fuck with me. No, I protect my space. I protect my peace. If you're trying to tear me down, that says more about you than it does about me. And I love myself and I have to love myself first before I can do anything else. Anything.
From dancing in her small town to making her way to New York City, from running behind the scenes to being in front of the camera, Dana's experience has been to some degree untraditional, but that's never stopped her before. Which led me to my last burning question. Looking back, do you see your journey as a way to honor your experience?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I wouldn't want it any other way. Even the times that just sucked, I wouldn't want it any other way. Any other way at this point, because I'm so happy with who I am as a person. And I really, really am happy. Are there certain things I want to still accomplish in my life? Yes. Are there certain things I still want? Absolutely. But I like Dana. Dana's fly. Like, I like Dana. I would hang out with me. I would be with me. I'd be my friend. I'd date me. Totally. The tough moments have taught me how strong I am, how resourceful I am, how bold I may have to be sometimes, how gentle I may have to be, how sensitive I am. I wear my heart on my sleeves. The things I've accomplished, the things I've survived, have all taught me that, and I think I said this in an interview with Cody, I'm gonna be all right. I'm gonna always be more than all right. And there are lessons I had to learn before I can truly step into my greatness. I haven't even begun to step into my greatness yet. But if I would have had my greatness 10 years ago, I'd have fucked it up. Because I wasn't ready mentally, I wasn't ready, and I would have crumbled under some of the pressure because I wasn't as strong, or I didn't believe I was strong, or maybe even worthy, to be honest. But absolutely, I wouldn't change any piece of it because it's made me who I am today. Now, I'm not signing up for any more struggle and hardship. Okay, universe, don't take that as a don't test me now. This is not an offering to be tested. I'm good on that. But I also feel like my journey and the things I've accomplished honor those who came before me and who sacrificed a lot for me to be able to be here too.
And in closing, advice for fellow Black creatives.
You know what? It's actually something similar to that our former First Lady Michelle Obama said in an interview. I want to believe it was with Oprah during her book tour. And they show it in the documentary. I'm paraphrasing. But she said, you know, I've sat at some of the most powerful tables in the world, and most of them don't know how they got there, right? I wish someone would have told me that everyone's trying to figure it out. No matter what level they're at, everyone's trying to figure it out, and they're always wondering, okay, is today the day they figure out that I don't really know as much as I think I know, you know? And because sometimes, especially when you're creative, and especially in this world of social media where we're comparing ourselves to somebody else's highlight reel and that sort of thing, we forget that we're all literally just trying to figure it out. And somebody may have studied something longer than me or been at a craft longer than me, but they're not, their dreams, their goals are not more important than mine. They don't have a magic sprinkling of something that makes, where you're always like, God, that's never going to happen for me. There's something wrong with me. Like, that's not real. So no matter how high people get up the corporate ladder or the entrepreneurial ladder, everyone's still really trying to figure it out. And I think there's so much comfort in that. And that's why I think conversations of vulnerability and transparency are good, not just because, like, you want to hear somebody's downfall or some shit like that, but it really level sets that, you know, life can be difficult. You know, everyone's getting a curveball. Life is lifing to everybody, okay? We can sit here in front all we want, but life is lifing. So I wish somebody had told me that the only difference between, you know, you and them is that they just had the balls to go for it. You know, they're no smarter than you, they're no better than you. They don't even know how they got that title. They don't even know how they got that salary, truly, but they asked for it and you didn't. I know that's jumbles, but those are things I wish I knew.
This episode was brought to you by We Are Made Radio, produced and edited by We Are Made Studios.